Keep looking. We'll find something.
Log Talk Radio.
Anybody out there listening? But I sure hope so. And we're going to be on for a whole hour tonight. So I might have to talk to myself. I'm not 100% sure. Oh, we got about 58 minutes to go. What we're going to talk about is what everybody's talking about in America today. Jobs, 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 jobs. If you want to give me a call, give me your opinion about the job situation. You can dial us in at 347-945-6713. Yeah, I finally broke down. I cracked. I gave in. I bent the mustard. We are now a premium show on Blog Talk Radio, which means I got to come up with some revenue, which means I got to have some listeners. So I need you all to listen, to call in, to click on any ads you see. Yeah, there's going to be some ads. I got to try to pay the bills. Do me a favor, take a look at a few of them if you would. But remember, the call-in number is still 347-945-6713. The call-in number is the same. The time is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's 6 o'clock for all of my coast callers. Particularly, a guy should have given you a call there, Colt. Let me see if you're in the chat room or if anybody else has joined us in the chat room. What do we got going here? We got nobody in the chat room yet. Seems everybody's fed up and tired of talking about jobs. Oh. Well, I'm not tired of talking about jobs because, to be perfectly blunt, I don't have a job. But we got to talk about more things. First of all, I think that while it's laudable that the president is trying to fill in a jobs plan, we got an analog government that's trying to solve a digital problem, and that is the real problem here. I'm a big Tom Friedman fan. I've read the books, The World is Flat, Flat and Crowded, and now the one he wrote with Michael Mandelbaum, That Used to Be Us. Very interesting fact that came up in that book, which still just stuns me. It took the Chinese less time to build an entire, to build an entire convention center than it did for us to manage to put two escalators into the Bethesda, Maryland subway. That was really disappointing to me. If I don't get some listeners, maybe 11 o'clock is a better time. But we're going to talk jobs, jobs, jobs. We're going to talk Occupy Wall Street, because that's connected with jobs. We can talk student loans, because that's connected with Wall Street. And Wall Street's connected with jobs. Nobody's got any jobs. The other thing that we can talk about, I've just started rereading Das Kapital. Because I've got this feeling in my gut that just maybe Karl Marx was right. And this capitalist system is indeed bringing itself down, whether it be state capitalism or private capitalism. I mean, anybody that would, now that you think about it, you realize that maybe the problem with the old Soviet Union, besides its brutality, was the fact that it really wasn't communism at all, but nothing but state capitalism. If, hey, there's the cult. He's in the chat room. Well done. Hey, cult, how are you? Cult, he's the right side of the duo that's come to exist here on Norman Night. God, his coffee's tasting pretty bad. But I got two books here that I would recommend to anybody. One is Weekonomics by Don Tapscott and Anthony Williams. Great book to read. And they talk about collaboration. As I started to talk a little bit before, I am a big Tom Friedman fan. And I have that used to be us here. And so I'm plowing through that right now. According to Friedman, and I believe him, especially when I combine it with all the other reading that I do, according to Friedman, two big things have, like, socked the world right in the stomach. Number one, the IT revolution. Number two, globalization. When you put those two things together, it just may have knocked the United States off the top dog. What do you think about that? 347-945-6713 is the number. How are we going to get jobs in America? I want to hear from you. I got nobody calling. I got, I actually have 50 lines open. I can accept up to 50 callers now. I'm really kind of excited about that, although most I've ever had at any one time is five. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do then. That's kind of funny. There's all kinds of interesting stuff on here. Okay, I'm going to let, while we're, trying to let Blog Talk solve, I'm trying to let. Now, let me see. Let's see what happens when I put myself on Facebook here. I'm still waiting for a caller. 347-945-6713. Post to your network. I thought I did. Well, let's see what's going on Twitter, actually. I don't know how many of you tweet out there, but I sure do. I'm a big Twitter fan. You can find me at nconstantine out on Twitter. I'd love to tweet with you. Follow me. Tweet right to me. Oh, my God. Oh, would I love to be invited to this dinner. Vice President Biden and his wife, Dr. Biden, are going to have Mr. and Mrs. Eric Cantor over for dinner tomorrow night. That should be a dilly. Oh, would I love to be there. You know, I don't know why they're even going through the motions. I mean, I've really begun to believe that Eric Cantor is just dumb. Plain and simple, he's just dumb. You know, he reads Ayn Rand when he's in college and he figures she's the answer to everything. Everybody thinks that's okay, but if you read Karl Marx when you're in college and think he's the answer to everything, and I admit, you could come to that conclusion about me, well, then there's something wrong with you. The other thing is, I'm not dumb. And I have read Ayn Rand. I doubt very seriously whether Eric Cantor has read Capital. Or as a... Well, I better, this is a show for everybody, so I can't talk about what I wanted to talk about. I still got all the lines open. It's 347-945-6713. We're approaching the 15-minute mark, and I'm tired of talking to myself. Let's see what's going on over here. In the chat room, only one present is the cult, and he's just listening right now. As long as I'm on the chat or on the air right now, I will give a shout-out to the St. Louis Cardinals and that great Italian manager they have who... just won another World Series, his third one. He won two in the American League, one in the National League. And Tony La Russa has retired. But a good shout out to Anthony because he did a great job. I'm really not sure why I wanted the Texas Rangers to win, other than the fact that it would have been their first world championship. But, I mean, seeing George Bush sitting in their box was really hard for me. So I don't have a job. Why don't I have a job? That's really a great question for me because I'm pretty IT conversant. I'm pretty IT conversant. I understand globalization. I have tried to, I've tried to understand the flat world. I've read everything I can get my hands on. I live in the cloud. The cloud's changing everything. You can go into business nowadays for almost nothing. because you can do everything across the internet. It is utterly astounding. You can make a business that connects things to everywhere. We just have to do it. And for whatever reason, here we have an America that's an analog country. We really are an analog country. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that all of our phones were originally designed to be wired phones. The amazing thing was the telegraph system and how fast those wires went across the whole country. It spread like wildfire, actually much faster than the internet did. But then, of course, it didn't have any entrenched interest such as the wired phone network. Remember, AT&T once said that packet switching wouldn't work. That's a pretty amazing thing. Like the CEO of IBM, when he called PCs a passing fad. Well, you know what? They have passed pretty quickly. Because right now, most of your connecting is done with that phone in your pocket. It's absolutely astounding. The phone in your pocket. When are we... Here's another example. I really believe this. I live in a city, the city of Bowie, Maryland. You know, we probably have 70,000 people in and around the greater Bowie area. It's a pretty good-sized city. Some say it's the second largest city in Maryland. Others say it's third. Goes back and forth with Rockville. If you know the actual answer to that question or the official answer, you can always give us a call at 347-945-6713. But anyway, we just built a new city hall. It cost millions. Why did we have to build the city hall? There is nothing that we do in City Hall that all the workers couldn't do from their houses, from their homes, if they knew how. But instead, we spend tens of millions of dollars to build this new City Hall, which we absolutely don't need. All of the city business could be run from a giant network, because the fact of the matter is the people all go over to City Hall and they operate on a network inside City Hall. They shouldn't have to do that. The data should be in the cloud, and the people who administer the city should be able to access that data from anywhere they are in the world. It's not a question of whether or not it can be done, because it can. And people who argue about the fact that we can't, that, oh, no, we can't. We have to go there. We have to be face-to-face. We have to keep our data, you know, in one central location. It's just not true. Just not true. And even if you want your data in a single place, you don't need a whole city hall to do that. You can put the data in a garage. You know, and as you operate from the cloud, it's just an immediate backup right to the garage. Data redundancy is an easy thing to have. The cloud works well. Anyway, there's no need for everybody to go to City Hall to administer the city. It's just not necessary. They can go from home and administer the city. Schools. There's no need for anyone to go to school to be educated. It just doesn't have to happen anymore. School is access to information. That's what education is. If you have access to information, you can determine what you want to know and how you want to know it. Everybody doesn't have to go to a school. Teachers can teach from anywhere. Students can learn and read from anywhere. I spent a lot of time thinking and learning about the transactional distance. My God, the jobs that are out there. Schools are analog. We're not analog anymore. Why can't we realize that? Someone explain it to me. 3/4. Wait, I got a call here. Go ahead. You're on the new Norm at Night.
I wondered when you'd notice.
You're on the new Norm at Night. I was on a little rant there.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I caught some of that.
So what do you think?
Oh, as far as schools? Well,
tell
the
me
way
why
I look
City
at...
City Hall has to go
City Hall. Yeah. You know, I've been reading about something I thought was pretty interesting. And it's kind of an idea that's running around in libertarian circles. And that has to do with government itself. And the thing is, if so many of us, and let's say maybe all of us, are connected, do we really need politicians to vote? You know, I mean, legislation comes up. But wouldn't it be an even better, you know, representative government if the people vote? So when the next budget comes down or the
No. Actually, if the people vote, it no longer is representative government.
Well, okay, I see. Well, I'm still thinking that there's still an administrative function. You know, I mean, these bills are, you know, obviously legislation's going to be have to be put together and presented and discussed and all of that. But I'm thinking just in terms of the voting itself. You may still have a representative or you may not need one anymore.
No, I mean, one of the, you could build a giant case that one of the big problems is representative government, because the fact of the matter is, no matter what anybody thinks about how bad the whole Congress is, everybody loves their own congressman because she keeps bringing home the stuff.
Yeah,
that's what they're going there to do, get a piece of the pie.
Well, I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, the Congress is overly represented, you know, by rural conservatives. And that's an unfortunate thing. Not so much in the House, but in the Senate. And they have...
The Senate is, you know, that is, the Senate is an issue.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, I mean, the 30 million plus people in California have the same representatives as the 800,000 people in Vermont.
But what about the 500,000 people in Wyoming?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Or the 400,000 people in Alaska.
Exactly.
And, in the Senate.
And you see where it goes. And these are generally agricultural or perhaps oil or gas-producing regions. And they have tremendous influence. We just look at the subsidies they get and all the rest of it. I mean, it's so this would more or less take that away. Now, I'm still willing to leave their people there, just not to vote. Remember, we still have a constitution to deal with here.
Well, you know, I mean,
they can present legislation.
The interesting question is, would it take constitutional changes to affect this? And I think that it would.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it would because, see, they're still going to be there. You know, these congressmen are all still going to be there representing their district or state.
But the powers of the Congress are something very specific.
Yeah. See, all I want to do is shift the voting part. That's all we're talking about. So I don't know. It's you know, obviously there's still, you know, questions as to whether or not such a system would be constitutional.
That doesn't mean I don't know. Have you ever heard of Lawrence Lessig?
No, I haven't. No.
Wow, he's a real interesting guy. He's a lawyer. He's just written a book about this exact thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe, you know.
And he says, he's written a lot of stuff about, his first book was Code.
Mm-hmm.
About the, you know, the internet and the way the internet runs isn't inherently free like everybody thought it is. It all depends on what code you write.
Mm-hmm.
It can be oppressive as well as liberating.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Code. Then he wrote another book called Free Culture. And he's very big about copyright. Now it is destroyed creativity in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote another book called The Future of Ideas. I've read them all, loved them all, recommend them all. Mm-hmm. And now his fourth book is, I don't have it yet. let me see. I forget the it just came out. In fact, he was on the morning shows talking about it.
Yeah.
Lesser books. Come on. I'll get it here. Republic Law is how money corrupts Congress and a plan to stop it. That is essentially what you said. Now, his books are really interesting. He writes them. Then after they've been out, he puts them in a wiki and calls on the crowd to edit it and change it.
Yeah. Well,
and it's really pretty. He's written Republic Law, Code, Free Culture. Oh, and then he's got another one I haven't read called Remix. Mm. And then The Future of Ideas. But Code and Other Laws of Cyberspace. It was a great read. I liked it.
Uh-huh.
Well, wait a minute. I could have more callers here. Well,
yeah, you need to check, you need to check that.
Nobody else in the chat room, but this is the first night back at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, take a while.
And it's the first time or not. You know, I've gotten so used to the half hour, I'm just about out of ideas here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But no, the big issue for tonight was jobs. We don't have anything for anybody to do. We have an analog government in a digital age.
Yeah, well, see, we ran into this thing. I mean, it's been going on, I would say, since the 70s, but the real impact was over the last decade. And that's when, aside from NAFTA, the real death knell happened, I mean, as far as the manufacturing sector. I mean, we literally exported a third of our manufacturing
jobs. I love NAFTA.
You love NAFTA?
I
can tell. I
don't
can
have
find 3 million people who disagree with you.
Well, I know, but I think they're wrong.
Yeah, well, okay, here's the deal. I'll give you this little bit of information. Since 2006, we have closed 42,000 factories in the United States. We have exported a third, 37% of all manufacturing jobs just since 2006. I'm not even counting NAFTA.
Right, I understand that.
So, you really can't expect this economy to pop back because there's nothing to jump back to. It's not there anymore. And the thing, and this bothers me, and you'll probably think I'm an elitist for saying so. All right, no, just listen.
Here we go.
When Americans say they, or when Americans will not do farm jobs because they're too hard, we're in serious trouble. Since when is a job too hard for an American to do? Or beneath us, I don't pick vegetables. That's for, indentured servants or slaves or somebody, but not me.
Well, they've always been done by those kind of people.
Well, guess what? During the Depression, a whole lot of people were looking for jobs in farms. I know, because they're all around here. Okies did not just sit there and wait for a check. They got in their trucks and they went to wherever they thought they could find work.
Yeah, I know. I read...
We all read the book.
I can't think of the name of it. The Jordan family. Steinbeck, Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, of course, all Steinbeck, yeah.
Everybody reads Grapes of Wrath.
But you tell me.
I loved it amazing. Everybody reads Canary Row.
And now, I can remember having some, being in between work and doing some crappy temporary jobs that I had to do.
Yeah,
and
it
was horrible work, and it paid a little more than minimum wage, but if you had to do it, that's what you did. So, you can't tell me that farm work is so back-breaking and awful, or are we just too soft and too weak? Apparently.
The fact is, most of our farm labor has always been done by outright slaves.
Yes, I understand all that.
Or illegal migrant workers.
But I want to know why Americans won't, especially these guys are, they're making like $10 an hour now, which granted is not a living wage, but it's certainly better than nothing.
It's $20,000 a year.
Yes, exactly.
If you work every day.
Right. So
don't. You ever look at the little chicken coops they live in?
Yeah, I know that, but I also knew people, not so much here, but
that really lived better than the migrant workers.
Yeah, but you know that I knew people, you know, Mexican descent, who worked full time jobs. You know, they were waiters or busboys or dishwashers, but still worked the fields during the day.
You know,
that was pretty amazing. I don't know how the hell they did it, but, you know,
The point of the fact is that as every day goes by, less and less farm workers are needed. More and more things are being picked by machines.
Yeah, well, there was something sort of interesting. The you're probably familiar with Roundup and how, you know, they have the jobs that many of the migrants used to get were pulling weeds. And now, now they use this Roundup, and then Monsanto has a seed that's Roundup resistant. So there were no weeds to pick, and that took about half their work away.
Oh, and then what Monsanto did.
But now you've got weeds that are Roundup resistant.
Well, and then they make a new Roundup, and it becomes a... But, you know, you talk about Monsanto. That was a great big lawsuit. Monsanto developed this seed. You know, and if you were a farmer, you had you could pay for the super seed, or you could keep using the crappy seed.
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of the farmers paid for the super seed. Well, you know, they grew their crops. But, you know, the wind blows, birds.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff on your feet. Well, the seed went into other people's fields. Monsanto sued them.
Mm-hmm.
And they won.
Well, yeah, they would. Win because they own the patent to that seed. So whether it happened accidentally or not, once you are made aware of it, you know, well, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, when Blog Talk got, you know, went to your account and took those songs off, right? Whether you put them there or not.
Well, no, I did put them there.
Well, I know.
I knew what I was doing.
Right, right. Well,
but those songs didn't just blow to my field.
Yeah, well, I could have put them up there.
And
you wouldn't have known about
it. You know, and so you can't stop me from, and then when those seeds grew new crops, you can't stop me from collecting the seeds off my things for next year's crop.
Yeah,
I've been doing that forever.
Sure. I mean, I don't agree with it either, but I do think that, you know, once you're aware of the problem, you know, that you have this thing and you can't sell it, even though it's on your land, you know, you have to take steps to do something about it. It's not yours, you know.
It's a toughie.
Yeah,
it's a toughie.
Yeah. So, Monsanto is involved in all kinds of, I mean,
you know, it's not
incredibly
like the
diverse
farmer,
company.
It's not like the farmer gathering up the seed and selling it to me.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Patent violation. I don't have any trouble with that one.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how they discovered it. I mean, they must have known it was going to happen. You know.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they were ready with the lawsuits.
You know, because let's face it, if this happens, it's like, well, maybe I'll just buy their damn seed and it won't be an issue. But, you know, but they're having some significant problems with that, with the whole Roundup thing, and it's
Roundup. That's the stuff I use in the backyard to kill the poison ivy.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that it, you know,
Roundup's the only thing that worked.
Yeah, well, I've tried some of the stuff, like on the cracks and in the sidewalk and in the driveway, and it's not very effective anymore. Which means
I think
my crabgrass and weeds are becoming resistant because the stuff grows right back. I mean, there's no, it just doesn't work. At least not to my satisfaction.
You know, it's funny. I have, there's four fully grown trees in my yard that are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
That, I saw this sugar maple. They grow like weeds anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw this sugar maple coming up out of one of the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let nature, let the battle commence. And the tree won.
Oh.
And so it grew this big sugar maple tree. And then on the side of the house, I saw one coming up. And I thought, oh, I won't mow this one. You know, until a whole summer I would mow around it. And all of a sudden it was a little tree. And now it's 100 feet high.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I had the same issue. I mean, the tree I took out a couple years ago. And that was a small little thing, and I didn't notice any roots and no cracks in the concrete. And then as soon as the drought hit, then the roots came up and broke up all the sidewalk. Oh, man, it was horrible.
Yeah.
That cost me
$1,200
to get rid of that thing.
I didn't know. 12, wow. I didn't know that roots come to the surface during drought.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So,
but because I was talking to the guy at the garden shop, you know, I was gonna. I thought that the soil had blown away.
Yeah,
but
you know, you sometimes you think, well, wouldn't they go deeper? But they don't do that. Because they know there's still a little bit of water on the surface, and they come up.
Yeah, but I thought
that
they'd try to come to the water table. Ah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because my water table is, you know, it's pretty close to the surface. I mean, it's like 3 feet deep. I can get to it in most years, you know.
Hey, come on, somebody out there, don't just listen to us, though. You're welcome to. Give us a call, 347-945-6713. Guess what I did tonight?
What did you do?
I went to a chess club.
Oh, boy. How was it like?
they haven't changed very much.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't changed very much.
Was
it was
there,
kind of fun.
Was there a lot of speed chess or?
No, I was like, there wasn't anybody there that with a little. Oh, I was just trashing this guy, and I got back rows.
Mm.
Oh, that hasn't happened to me since I was 10. Back road. But anyway, it was kind of fun. You know, it was over at the library.
Yeah, the club that is around here, they meet at a restaurant, more like a diner coffee house type thing.
Right, and they all do. That seems to be the... or at the local bookshop, you know,
mm-hmm.
Everybody goes to the cafe and buys $5 coffee.
Yeah, because that way a business, you know, the business is obviously getting business, and it's a little more comfortable. You know, people have snacks and coffee and whatever they want, you know.
I think I've noticed at my Barnes & Noble, however, that... their they're taking more and more tables out every week.
Oh, yeah. See, I have
They started to put, you know, those things you put in your plugs when you have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to put those in the outlets.
No. Oh. Hmm.
Because these people are coming in, they're just staying there all day, and they're not buying anything.
Oh, for crap! Oh, they're just using the internet and.
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake!
I think it's great. I want the city to.
I want the city to
provide free wireless for everyone.
Yeah, we almost got that far here, but eventually the cost became too great. And I forget how, you know, but that, you know, San Francisco is the only city I know where they really have it virtually everywhere. And
well, Annapolis, Maryland is... there's a lot. Well, a lot of people are fighting about it, but it's expanding regularly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Internet service. Now, I probably pay quite a lot for it, actually. But but then I look at my telephone bill, which is considered a luxury. And it's like 26% taxes, you know. Of course, my utility bill for electricity is starting to turn the same way. And now I'm paying that damn solar energy tax again, although now it's not a tax. I guess now it's a surcharge. So... yeah, we get taxed. 1% is added to all our utility bills here.
Really?
And it goes to a fund, which is nothing but a freaking giveaway to all the solar energy, Solyndra and this one and that one. And, I mean, we're just subsidizing rich people. No poor people benefit. No middle class people benefit. And that's freaking Jerry Brown.
I'm going to say this. There has never been a middle class in America.
Oh, they raise their head from time to time.
Oh, that is such a giant fraud.
Well, whatever you want to call it, and I know you'll agree with this, factory workers used to do rather well, particularly unionized. Factory workers. Now, what would you call them? In the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, they made decent wages. Comparable with professionals. You know.
Something we have to remember.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that well.
Well, yes, I understand they used credit. You know, there was a lot of cheap credit. And they were using that to,
the whole, yeah, I lived in a wooden frame house in Buffalo, New York, on this little patch of land where you can reach out and get a cup of sugar from the guy next door.
Okay.
You know, and we were homeowners and middle class. And
yeah, well, a great many people
the fact
did.
Remains, as my dad used to say, if you are a pencil eraser away from destitution, don't pretend you're any kind of class.
Yeah, well, you can call it what you want, upper working class. I don't know what you want to call it. But they lived a lot better than their parents did and their parents before them, so...
Yeah, you know, is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I look at, you know, what used to be Cheektowaga and Amherst and whatever, and, you know, the ranch houses with the pool in the back and the 2-3-car garage, and, I mean, people bought these things. They lived in them. That was their life. They had enough money to afford it, even though they had to borrow.
And they worked their asses off.
And they were, oh, yes, they worked.
They worked two jobs half the time.
But they got what they had, and it was there.
But people were making money off of them all the time.
Well,
they
weren't
dividing up the pot fairly.
Because if you borrow money, somebody is going to make money off of you. Yes, of course. Your debt is going to be sold and resold and leveraged, and it's still going on. And if you don't think the stuff that the big banks did in 2006, 2007, and 2008, you heard of MF Global. And you know what they did.
Is that Corzine's company?
That's Corzine's company.
So what exactly did they do?
Tell the audience. They made leveraged bets, and I'm not saying investments, bets.
Okay, what bets. Does that mean? What do they actually do?
They purchased large quantities of depressed government debt, particularly Greece, Italy, Spain, Ireland. And this is leveraged. They leveraged up on it.
So they borrowed the money to buy this.
Yes, exactly. So,
okay.
And when you get into positions with leverage, it only takes a very small move because that, you know, where if your price goes down 5%, you're broke.
You got to meet the margin. You got to meet
right,
the margin
exactly.
If something goes wrong.
So anyway, once it became apparent that the Greek debt would take a 50% haircut, and by haircut, that's reduction of principal, that was enough to kill him right there. In addition to that, and this is the worst thing that they could have done, they used their customers' funds to buy this stuff. So they were borrowing money from people who didn't even know it was happening. Any of their customers
okay.
who had accounts? I mean, that is the worst. People could end up in jail for that.
See, I don't think so.
Well, we'll see. Corzine is well connected.
No.
But what I had to know about this.
Okay, let's say they'd won. The customers would have got the money.
No. That doesn't work like that. They're just using the money. The customers don't know anything about it. Nobody tells you that we're borrowing your money or even that we're borrowing your stock and loaning it to someone else just so that they can sell it short. That happens all the time. And if it happens with my stock, I don't even know about it. There's no way for me to know. I don't know if you get that or not.
I understand. It's what happened after the American Revolution.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing that this...
Hamilton and all his buddies bought all the war bonds up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made a constitution and said, we got to pay all these.
Yeah.
At face value.
Right. Well, okay, anyway, so what you're seeing is, you know, the type of practices that got all these big banks in trouble. And here's the one point that I really want to make on this. Part of Corzine's bet, again, a bet, is he expected the European Union to bail everyone out. Okay?
Well, that's
because,
not a bet.
Because, well, yeah, well, it was probably a good bet. In fact, everybody says it was a good bet because that's what happened in the United States. The government will bail you out.
Well,
so here we are again.
Isn't what killed him was that the Greeks reneged on their half of the...
Well, yeah, they did. Yeah, but see, he...
And put it to the people for a vote?
Yeah, but he was dead before that. He was dead last week, Friday.
That's when the Greek government said they were going to put it to a vote.
That just happened today that they were going to do the referendum.
Oh, are you sure? I swear I... Well, it doesn't really matter. He's dead.
I mean, officially. Now, unofficially, it may have been, who knows, but...
What I really am disappointed about, the guy's a Democrat.
Yeah, I know. So now, you know, I mean... But, you know, does that really matter, though? I don't see any difference between the two other than, you know, they have different special interest groups behind them. But other than that, these are just corporatists. These are just, you know, part of the state.
I wonder how much money Obama has.
He's not tremendously rich, but he makes a hell of a... Who knows how he got the capital? I mean, how did he get that money? That's like, you know... Except that, you know, there is this
If I'm not mistaken, he can do anything he wants with the money he raises for his campaign.
Well, I don't know what limitations are there. There must be some.
If he becomes taxable, if he takes it out to spend it for personal issues.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's allowed or what. We must have something in there to protect us from that sort of thing.
No, because it's generally speaking with campaign funds.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about running for the city council, and so I was looking into all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People give me money. I can spend it for anything I want.
Mm-hmm. So whether it's campaign related or not, is that what we're saying?
I have to say it's campaign related. You know, like I need that new Lexus to drive around the city.
Right. Yeah. So you could, you know, that. Yeah, I understand. So, yeah, if we're dealing in those terms, then sure. You know, you can.
Well, what happens
you
is
can hire your sister for $100,000 a year or whatever.
And
you want
usually,
to do.
Usually, they're in debt,
mm-hmm.
and people help them pay it off.
Like
that was one of the things Hillary, she had to agree to get out so that they would pay off her debt.
Yeah, exactly, because she had injected a lot of her own money in there, and that too, it's like. Where the hell did she get all those millions of dollars?
Well,
it wasn't all Whitewater.
Anyway, we're down to the last 2 minutes here, and now we're back. Everybody out there, anybody might listen to this, we're back at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday. We're on for an hour. It was a great conversation today. I hope that it was enlightening for some people, especially the explanation of exactly what happened to John Corzine and what's the exact name of that company.
Well, you know, it just shows you that, you know, the political... beliefs or whatever party you're in doesn't make any damn difference. You know?
Oh, and I just have to chuckle about Herman Cain and his sexual harassment fiasco.
Oh, yes.
Just hilarious.
Yeah, between him and Perry, I don't know which one is weirder.
And I gotta ask, so what do you think Perry was Friday night during that speech? I'm sure you've seen tapes of it.
I, given my experience, I know what somebody looks like and sounds like when they're stoned. You don't act that happy when you're tired or around people you, you know, really agree with. But it's around strangers. Come on now.
That's what I thought. Well, we got about 10 seconds left. We'll see you next week, and remember, push those ad buttons.
Okay,
I'll push my revenue up past 17 cents.
Oh, really?
I
did not know. Let me click something. Let me see what I got here. That there's a job thing. Should I click that?
I don't know.
How about Chrome?
I don't know. I am going out of here, though. That's all I know.
Okay,
it's been great. We'll talk to you next week. I really look forward to this. And there are thousands of people out there that like to listen to our conversations.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay.
And, if the revenue starts pouring in, I'll cut you in.
Oh, well, that's okay.
All right. I am out of here, though.
Talk to you next
Bye-bye.
Week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.